Chapter 5. Bill Sykes. Oliver awoke in a strange room with no idea of where he was or how he got there. "Where am I? What room is this?" he asked, his voice weak and small. A pair of curtains was pulled open, letting in the sunlight. Oliver rubbed his eyes before looking around the room and seeing an old woman, neatly dressed, sitting in a chair by his bed. "Quiet, my dear," she said. "You must rest now. You came to us so ill, so very ill indeed. Lie down again. You must rest and heal." With that, the old woman gently placed her hand on Oliver's head and laid him back down to sleep. "Oh, you poor thing," she said with tears in her eyes. "What would your mother think if she could see you like this?" "Perhaps she did see me," Oliver mumbled. "Perhaps she sat by me too, or at least, I almost feel like she did."
"That was your fever, my dear."
"I suppose so." The old lady said nothing to this, and instead went and brought Oliver something cold to drink. Then she told him to go back to bed and remain still, or else he would become sick again. So Oliver remained very still and went back to sleep, partly because the old lady was nice and he wanted to listen to her, and partly because he was too tired to do anything else. A few hours later, he was awakened by the light of a candle and the ticking of a pocket watch. He opened his eyes and saw the old gentleman from the trial, Mr. Brownlow, standing by his bed.
"Ah, you're awake again," Mr. Brownlow said, surprised. "Feeling any better?"
"Yes, sir, thank you," Oliver replied.
"Hungry?"
"No, sir."
"Not surprising, given the fever you've been running. Bet you're thirsty, though, aren't you?"
Oliver suddenly realized that, yes, he was indeed quite thirsty, so he nodded his head at the old gentleman.
"Just as I expected," Mr. Brownlow replied. "Mrs. Bedwin," he said to the old woman, who was still sitting in the same chair as before, "bring us some tea, please. 2 cups, with some dry toast, too. No butter."
The old woman bowed her head to Mr. Brownlow and walked out of the room.
"Dry toast and tea always did the trick when my daughter was sick. Does it work with you as well?"
"I wouldn't know, sir," Oliver replied. "I've never had any." The tea and toast was delivered. Oliver ate his and then went back to sleep at Mrs. Bedwin's order. Meanwhile, the Dodger and Charlie had made it back to Fagin's. Fagin heard them rush in.
"Where's Oliver?" he asked.
The Dodger and Charlie looked at each other in terror, and then at their own feet, saying nothing.
"What's become of the boy?" Fagin continued, grabbing the Dodger by the shirt. "Speak or I'll choke you."
Afraid for his friend's life, Charlie fell to his knees and shouted, "The police have him! That's all we know!"
Fagin let go of the Dodger. He walked around the room for a moment, then picked up a rusted pot and threw it in anger. The two boys jumped away to avoid getting hit, and the pot crashed into a nearby wall.
"What are you trying to do? Kill me?" growled a deep voice.
The boys jumped, looking around to see who the voice belonged to.
"Who threw that? Fagin?"
A tall man stepped out of the shadows of the room. He was a large man, dressed in a brown coat and hat, with gray pants and black boots on his feet. From his chin grew a small beard, and his eyes were locked in permanent anger. The man was carrying the pot, which he then threw onto the floor. The boys watched as it rolled all the way to Fagin.
"What are you up to now, Fagin? Planning a murder?"
"Quiet, Mr. Sykes," said Fagin quickly. "Don't speak so loud."
"Don't call me Mr. Fagin," replied the man. "You're always planning to trick me when you call me that."
"Well then, Bill Sykes," Fagin said, backing away, "what brings you here?"
The man, Bill Sykes, stepped closer to Fagin. "I'm here to collect my cut for letting you work in my territory," he said. He then turned to face the Dodger and Charlie Bates. "But first, what's this about someone getting captured?"
And so the Dodger explained what had happened to Oliver. Charlie Bates would have explained as well, but he was terrified of Bill Sykes and the dark, empty way he watched him.
"I'm afraid," Fagin began, "that he'll say something to the police about what we do here."
"That's very likely," answered Sykes. "It sounds like you're in a spot of trouble."
"And I'm also afraid," Fagin continued, "that if the police were to arrest me, things would be even worse for you."
Bill walked right up to Fagin, eyes wide with rage.
"Are you threatening me, Fagin?" he asked.
Fagin trembled but said nothing. Minutes passed. The Dodger and Charlie Bates watched in silence.
"Someone needs to find out where he is," Bill finally said. He turned away from Fagin and started pacing the room in thought. Fagin sighed in relief.
"I'll have Charlie investigate. If I wanted things done badly," Bill interrupted, "I would let your boys handle this. But I don't want that. I want this problem solved the right way."
Fagin opened his mouth to say something, but a stern look from Bill made him think better about it. He shut his mouth.
"Nancy," Bill shouted, "get in here."
A young lady wearing a red dress and green boots entered through the door. The Dodger and Charlie stared at her, mouths open.
"Yes, Bill?" she asked quietly.
"Nancy, there's something I need you to do for me," Bill said. He then explained what had happened.
"I won't do it, Bill," Nancy said when he was done explaining.
Bill stopped moving around the room, surprised. Both the boys and Fagin looked shocked.
"It's too risky, Bill," she went on. "I don't want to get caught by the police and end up in jail."
"You'll do it."
"No, I won't."
"You'll go."
"I won't."
"You'll go,"
Bill shouted, grabbing Nancy's arm and yanking her closer to him.
Bill pulled on her arm with such force that Nancy tripped and fell to the floor. Then Bill kneeled and looked down at her on the floor.
"You'll do it?" Bill asked, still with anger in his voice. Nancy rubbed the spot where Bill had grabbed her. She flinched in pain.
"Yes," she mumbled. And so Nancy went out into the city and started asking people what they knew of a young boy who had been arrested that day and where he was now.